Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
All right, there we go. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Everyone on Facebook and YouTube who's been sitting here just watching me connect to everything.
Yeah, I'm sorry about the delay. We had the Qalam Khatam tonight, and then we also had another Khatam from a good friend, Qari Noman, in Milwaukee. So we've been hopping around a little bit. So sorry for the delay.
And now we're live on Instagram as well. So inshallah, we can go ahead and get started.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Welcome everybody, alhamdulillah, to the last night of Ramadan. Tonight is the 30th night of Ramadan. It is, you know, the waning moments of such an amazing month. And just, you know, before we get started, I know a lot of people already messaged about the confusion about Eid. The reality is, everybody, this is just something that has existed within the Ummah for, you know, time immemorial.
1400 years.
Yeah.
There was an incident during the era of the companions where one of the companions basically was in, started Ramadan in, I think, Damascus or somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then he traveled and arrived in Medina. And when he arrived in Medina, he was kind of having a conversation with someone and then found out, like, oh, we didn't start Ramadan with y'all. We started the day after y'all. And someone in Medina basically said, what, the moon in Medina isn't good enough for y'all in Damascus over there, huh? Mm-hmm. And the senior companions of the Prophet ﷺ said, no, that's not a thing. That's not how we approach these things. It's, you know, there are different sightings in different places and different, you know, levels of information and confirmation and things like that. And at the end of the day, whatever ends up being the reason or the cause, the point of it is that sometimes things don't get synchronized, you know, from country to country or things like that. But, you know, we don't necessarily get thrown off by that. We do what we have to do.
So the answer is, you know, celebrate Eid with whatever community or family that you're with, inshallah.
Yeah. The people that you're with, the people you live with, the community that you are kind of in the vicinity of, that you're in the area of, the community you would have prayed Eid if you were going to an Eid congregation, the masjid that you normally would have attended for the Friday prayers or for your Taraweeh or whatever. Just stay with that, inshallah, and that's the best thing to do.
Inshallah. For our last night of this series, we wanted to highlight a dua of somebody who, although not a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was somebody who had a presence in the Quran that was absolutely astounding. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us and gave us access to certain moments of her life. And one of these moments we'll talk about tonight, inshallah. It's found, I believe, in the 28th juz.
Yeah, I'll pull it up.
And it's at the end of the chapter when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually comparing, very interesting, is comparing four women, two and two. And Allah ta'ala brings up the example of the wives of Nuh and Lut. Nuh and Lut. Oh, Sheikh, you're buffering. Are you on LTE?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. We're good now. So Nuh and Lut, the wives of Prophet Nuh and Prophet Lut, alayhim as-salam, and how they were people who were actually, in their spiritual status, were non-existent, were absent. And then Allah Ta'ala brings the example of Maryam at the end, but before that, the topic of tonight's session, Asiya. Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. And Allah Ta'ala tells us that she was somebody of great devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She did amazing things, and the greatest thing that she ever did is told to us in the Quran. This dua that she makes right before the end of her life. And so I'll let Sheikh Abdel Nasser tell us the story, give us the background, and teach us that dua that she made, inshallah.
Absolutely. Okay.
Do you want me to pull back the photo?
I got it. I'm ready to go.
Go ahead. There you go. Are you typing it in?
Right. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Okay. So as Ustad, mashallah, beautifully explained it, this is a remarkable story in the Quran about a remarkable person. So I'll show you the screen again in just a moment. So the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, I want to say serious, but Tahrim. So this is.
It must have been a thing growing up.
So this is chapter number 66 that we're going to talk about. It's called Surah At-Tahrim. And we have a very dear friend, and his name is Tahrim. So he just jumped onto Instagram and congratulated himself, apparently. So it just made me laugh. But as I was saying, the Prophet Musa alayhi salam has a very fascinating story, right? He has a very fascinating, remarkable sequence of events that transpire and that play out. One of the scholars actually said something really remarkable and really astounding, and that is that the Prophet Musa alayhi salam story is actually quite remarkable also in terms of the women that play different roles in the story of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Starts with the mother of Musa, wa uhayna ila ummi Musa narḍi'ihi. You have the sister of Musa, who is so brilliant and intelligent and basically is able to go right in there into the court of Fir'aun and be able to negotiate a way for her brother to be reunited with her mother. Not only that, but also the wife of Fir'aun, who finds, Musa alayhi salam as a baby in a basket floating down the Nile, and picks him up and takes him as one of her own. You have the chambermaid of the daughter of Fir'aun, who was a believing woman and who was ultimately killed, and her whole family was killed because they believed in Musa alayhi salam. You have the daughters of Shu'aib, one of them who was the wife of Musa. They play a role in this particular story. So it's just, it's very kind of interesting when you look at it. But one of the women who plays a very, very awesome role here in the story of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam is the wife of Pharaoh. the wife of Pharaoh, the wife of Fir'aun. And Fir'aun is basically that tyrant who ruthlessly, you know, rules over Bani Israel. He's a crazy person. He declares himself to be God. He's so tyrannical. He calls himself God and forces people to worship him, not just obey him, but worship him. And furthermore, he has enslaved Bani Israel, the people that Musa alayhi salam belongs to, who are the progeny of prophets of God. They're from the children of the prophet Yaqub. And he's this terrible, terrible person. And Musa alayhi salam, as a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually is raised in the palace of the Pharaoh. Because as a baby, when Fir'aun's soldiers are going about murdering the babies of Bani Israel, God inspires to the mother of Moses to put baby Moses in a basket and float him down the river. And the stream brings him right to the banks of the Nile River, right outside in the backyard, if you will, on the premises of the estate and the royal palace of the Pharaoh. And the wife of the Pharaoh that day is kind of out and about. She's out there enjoying the weather and the scenery. And she sees a basket and she says, "Bring me that basket. What is that?" And they see that there's a baby in the basket. And she lays eyes on that baby and she immediately falls in love with that child. And she says, "Natakhiduhu waladan," right? That we can take qurratu ayn li walak, right? That we can take him as a child. And they didn't have any offspring of their own. And we can take him as a son and he'll be a source of comfort for us. We can raise him like one of our own. Pharaoh wasn't so keen on the idea and he never really warmed up to Musa alayhi salam as a baby nor as a child. Nonetheless, at the insistence of the wife of Pharaoh, Musa alayhi salam grew up there. Then the whole sequence of events transpires. I don't want to go into detail of all of that. In any case, a decade or so later, Musa alayhi salam returns back to Egypt, back to the court of the Pharaoh, and he comes back this time as a prophet of God with a message from Allah. And the message is, believe in Allah and let Bani Israel go free. Stop oppressing them. Fir'aun, as expected, scoffs at this suggestion and says, "Absolutely not. I'm not going to do that." And the whole sequence of events continues from there. Along the way, what happens is that the wife of Pharaoh, the same one who had picked up Moses, you know, from the basket in the river and adopted him and taken him as a child, as a baby, as one of her own, because she's a sincere, good person, she listens to the message of Musa and understands what Musa is saying and says, it makes sense. And she believes in the message of Musa. She accepts the faith. And for a lot of things happen, Fir'aun grows more and more, you know, irate and agitated with Musa alayhi salam's activities and preaching and calling people to Allah. More and more people are starting to believe in him. Bani Israel is becoming emboldened in escaping the tyranny and the oppression of Fir'aun. All of this is happening and transpiring. And Fir'aun is growing more and more agitated. And his agitation eventually leads him to starting to just, you know, become paranoid of everything, suspicious of everyone, hunting down anyone he can find that is sympathetic to the message of Moses. And that's where the story of the chambermaid of the daughter of Moses, daughter of Fir'aun, comes into play as well. And ultimately what comes to light is he recognizes the fact that his own wife, the wife of Fir'aun, and her name was Asiya. Okay? Asiya. And even those who are particular about Arabic pronunciation, it's with an alif and not an ayn. The name with an ayn has not a good meaning. Asiya, basically. Mm. this is the name Asiya. Asiya. Yeah. So Alif, Asiya. Okay. And just to kind of transliterate for anyone who's listening and doesn't pick up on the name, A-S-I-Y-A, Asiya. All right. And it's a pretty common name in the Muslim community. So she ends up becoming Muslim. And she's accepted the message of Musa. Fir'aun realizes this. He becomes suspicious and he finally confronts her. And he says, do you believe in what Moses says? Call me God. Bow down in front of me. Prove to me that you don't believe what Moses believes. And she, you know, says, I'm not going to do that. I can't betray my Lord, my Rabb, by bowing down in front of you. Anyone, but particularly you. You know, what an evil man Fir'aun was. And at that time, he realizes that, oh no, my own wife has joined the other side. And he decides that I can't have people doubting me. I can't have people, you know, being emboldened to stand against me and to go against me. So let's make an example out of her. Let's make an example out of her. And what he does is he basically tortures her. And he ends up having her lashed and beaten, tied up, you know, confined. And then keeps kind of like thinking, because he's crazy, that, you know, she'll eventually give up. She'll eventually relent. She'll eventually stop believing in, you know, Moses' message. Until finally she tells him that, listen, you can keep doing this for as long as you want. I'm never going to stop believing. I'm never, ever going to stop believing. So finally at that time, Fir'aun does the following. Now this part is going to get kind of intense. This is going to be intense. One day, he has the soldiers bring her out. He says, tie her arms to separate ropes, tie her legs to separate ropes, and then he says, pull from four different sides.
Mm-hmm.
She's lying on the ground. They pull her to the point where, like, her joints are popping out of the sockets. They're stretching her to the point where it seems like if they stretch anymore, it's going to rip her apart. And they stretch her so much that it lifts her body off the ground and she's suspended in the air like this. And they're holding her like that. And Fir'aun says, stop now. Then he tells someone else to get like a ladder or something like that and climb up. And he tells him to carry up there a big rock, a big stone, like a stone slab. Carry it up there. Hold it out on top of her body. So while she's stretched out like this, above the ground, facing upwards, go and stand on top of her with a giant concrete slab and hold it out over her head so she can see it. And hold it there. And then they do all that. And then he asks her one last time, will you worship me and leave Moses's, you know, message? And she says, absolutely not. And they hold the stone out. And at that moment, she makes a dua. And the dua that she makes in that moment is what you see on the screen. Chapter 66, verse number 11. Chapter 66, verse number 11. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, God Almighty says, that God gives the believers an example of what it means to believe, what it means to have faith, what it means to have conviction. Imra'ata Fir'aun, the example of the wife of the Pharaoh. Idh qalat, remember that time. Now we snap back to where we left off. She's suspended in the air above the ground, body hang suspended in the air like that. They've climbed on top. They're holding a giant concrete slab on top of her body, on top of her head. And they're holding it there, just waiting for Fir'aun to say, nod his head, and then they just release it, and it crushes her. And in that moment, she says, Allah says, remember that moment, okay? There in that moment, what does she say? رَبِّ بِنِي لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. My Lord, build me a palace in paradise. And my favorite part of it is that will be near you.
Allah.
Allah, I want to be your neighbor. I want to be near you. The Prophet ﷺ tells us that there will be some people in the highest levels of paradise, that when they look up, they will see God. That the throne of God will be the sky of their paradise. And so she says, my Lord, build me a palace in paradise near you. وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِي. And save me from Pharaoh, from Fir'aun, and all of his actions. وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And save me from these terrible, terrible, oppressive, these terribly oppressive people. Save me from them. These evildoers, these oppressive, terrible people. Save me from them. So she said, oh Allah, give me a palace in paradise that's right under your throne. And then she said, save me from Fir'aun and everything he's doing. What happens next is there are narrations in the books of Tafsir. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, amongst others, narrates that at that moment when Fir'aun asked her the question, will you worship me, leave Moses and what he's preaching? And she says, never. And then Fir'aun says, crush her. And before they release the people that were up there holding the stone, and Pharaoh sitting over there on his throne watching, they see that as Fir'aun says the words, crush her, she smiles. And Fir'aun almost wants to kind of stop them to try to understand why she's smiling when I just gave the order for them to crush her to death. But before he can say anything, they let the stone go. And it drives him mad why she smiled. He can't understand why she smiled. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says that the reason why she smiled was at that moment that she made the dua and Fir'aun said, release the stone, crush her, let it go, drop it on her head. That at that moment, in a split second, it's like time froze. Like earlier, on one of the earlier nights, Ustad was telling us a story about the Prophet Abraham. It's like time froze. And in that moment, Allah showed her her palace in paradise.
Mm.
She saw her paradise in the life of this world. Allah showed her where the stone was. She saw a preview of her palace in paradise just open up in front of her. She could see it. And then the second part of her dua was, وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ. Oh Allah, save me, rescue me from Pharaoh and what he's doing. That in that split second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel of death. Again, time frozen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel of death down, came down and said, remove her soul from her body and bring it up to me, because she will not even feel a bit of the pain of that stone crushing her. That what the stone crushed were empty skin and bones. Her soul was already in the heavens with God. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed her soul from her body. And this is the dua of Asiya, Imra'atu Fir'aun. And Allah says, this is a role model. This is what it looks like to believe. Oh Allah, build me a home next to you in paradise. And save me from bad people. in the things that bad people do. So this is the dua of Asiya.
SubhanAllah. Yeah, and this, you know, it's always so just astounding when you read this passage in the Quran. And Allah Ta'ala mentions earlier in the passage that the fact that the wives of Lut and Nuh, alayhim as-salam, the fact that they were married to prophets, it didn't save them.
Mm.
And likewise, Allah Ta'ala is illustrating for us a woman whose face is like a gold standard, right? Her face mm-hmm. is just a standard for everybody to aspire to have. And she's married to the worst of creation, right? Mm-hmm. You have women who are married to some of the best of creation, prophets of God. Yeah. And you have a woman here who is married to the worst of creation, you know, Fir'aun, some of the worst of creation. But her spiritual state, her iman, her connection with Allah is independent of her surroundings.
Subhanallah.
Right? وَنَجِّنِي مِن فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ.
عجيب.
We are so impacted by the people that we are around.
Subhanallah.
That, you know, we read this story and we read this dua and it's amazing, right? And we think to ourselves, man, what an amazing person, the level of trust, the level of commitment, the level of conviction she had in her dua. But one thing that we forget, you know, when you think about this dua, is the life she had to lead living up to this.
Mm.
And the life of integrity and of good character and virtue that allowed her to become somebody who accepted the message when she saw it.
So,
right? Like, this just didn't happen. This dua, this level of conviction, this level of commitment, it didn't just roll off of her tongue accidentally. Mm. Right? This wasn't just a coincidence, right, Sheikh? Like, this wasn't just like,
absolutely,
she just stumbled into this level of conviction. This is a woman who was avoiding the evil of her husband and the evil of his deeds and the evil of her people for so long. Mm. Right? She had to avoid. And if you look at the opposite people, Imra'at Nuh and Imra'at Lut, they could not, you know, they ignored the calls of their spouses, their husbands, calling them towards God, and they fell into the immorality and the sinful lifestyle of their people.
Mm-hmm.
What is the lesson here that I'm taking from this, subhanAllah, is the idea that if a person wants to have like a just absolutely inspiring moment with Allah and making dua, there is momentum that has to be built leading up to that.
Mm.
And that's why, you know, many of us are talking about the different end of Ramadan du'as that we've had. Tonight's du'a with Sheikh Mikael was beautiful. Tonight's du'a with Sheikh Mikael was powerful. You know, my mother-in-law was, you know, texting me. She said, I should have left tissues in the living room. You know, I was so emotional. But you know why? You know why du'as are so powerful at the end of Ramadan and not the beginning? Because we've had 3 to 4 weeks of that momentum. Right, your heart has been cleaned, you know. كلا بل رانا على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون. Right, that all the dirt and the filth that had been acquired throughout the year, the 11 months, we spend 28 days power washing that. Right, I'm using power washing as a verb because Sheikh, I just bought a power washer, and Sheikh and I have a relationship now with power washer. You spend 28, you know, 27, 28 days just scrubbing with prayer, with fasting, with sadaqah. I mean, think about it. Think of everything you've accomplished this month.
Mm.
And that's why you open your hands and you ask Allah, and all of a sudden, like, you just, your tears start falling, or your heart, even if you don't cry, your heart just opens and you feel, you know, you may not cry with your eyes, but you feel it in your heart. You feel the dua. Try making that same dua on the first night of Ramadan.
So,
even though it's the same month, and even though you prayed and you fasted, but you hadn't built up that spiritual momentum, right? And so dua is not something that you can just, you know, pop open like a can and just start, you know, going at it. Dua is like you know, it takes time, and it takes before even the dua itself. You know, that's why Sheikh Abdul Nasser, one of his great examples that he gives in meaningful prayer in his class is, if you want to have a good salah, if you want to have a good prayer, it doesn't just begin with the first takbir. Mm-hmm. The good prayer begins with everything that leads up to that prayer. How are you approaching it? Did you hear the adhan in your house? If you heard the adhan, did you close down your laptop? Did you go to the bathroom, make wudu? Did you take your time making wudu? Did you say bismillah before you started? When you finished, did you say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahda? Did you do all these steps? Then when you went to the prayer mat, did you pray your sunnah? Did you sit down and take a few moments to gather yourself? If you pray that prayer versus the prayer of, oh my God, I have 3 minutes left, let me get this over with quickly, and then you say Allahu Akbar and you zoom through it, I mean, which one? We don't even have to answer that question, right? So when you think about your dua, right, ask yourself, what have I done leading up to this dua that's going to open my heart? And honestly, my advice to myself and everybody is, when you know you want to make dua to Allah every night or a certain night, let's say that, you know, okay, I want to make dua to Allah tomorrow night, Maghrib time, try to live that day in a way that's going to prepare you for that moment. Try to at least give yourself some, you know, maybe not the entire day, maybe you know, but try to give yourself some deeds going up to it. Because Asiya's life was a life of commitment to Allah. Even before she accepted the message of Musa, she was the one that had the kindness in her heart to take in this young child, right? She had these inclinations, these moments. And so this is what I get, is that we would all love to be able to make this dua, especially the way that Sheikh described it. I mean, that moment, that image, that scene, how many of us would love to have that ability to be, we're about to die and this is what we say, right? It's like our greatest dream that we say, oh Allah, make the last words off my tongue the kalima. Like, let me say the last things, right? Because whoever says, you know, من آخر كلامه أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. The person who, the Prophet ﷺ said, if the person, their last statement, their last words is the testimony of faith, the Prophet ﷺ said, right away they will enter paradise.
SubhanAllah.
And we act as if that's like, it's easy. No, that requires a lifestyle that's lived up to that point. Dua is part of a lifestyle. Dua is part of an ecosystem. It only can survive if the environment supports it. But if I find myself struggling to make dua, oftentimes I have to look at things outside of my dua. You know, if I struggle to have khushu in prayer, I have to look at things outside of my prayer. I have to look at my life outside of that moment and see. And that's why Asiya here, the dua is so powerful. But you know what's even more powerful is the life that led up to this dua, the sacrifice that led up to this dua. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that. Barakallahu feekum. I think tonight will be our conclusion, Sheikh. We had a couple more that we could have done.
I know. This is something that, inshallah, we'll try to...
It could be a good series that we could do, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah. We'll try to, you know, aside from just kind of just getting them all done, we'll try to give it some kind of schedule, some kind of, you know, regular program, kind of, you know, give it some kind of a schedule and structure, even if it be, you know, kind of spread out to once a month or something like that, because obviously there's going to be a whole lot of other stuff going on, but we would like to continue this and maintain this, and would love it if everyone who is joining us on these late nights, middle of the night in Ramadan, were able to kind of, you know, come back and revisit us on those particular, whenever we continue this program, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan, barakallahu feekum. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. And remember, you know, we still got some more time. Let's try to get some more dua in tonight. And then for those who are fasting tomorrow, inshallah, it's a day of fasting. So let's stay on top of those 5 times daily prayers and read some Quran tomorrow and make a lot of dua at iftar time tomorrow. And then inshallah, we'll go forward from there.
Yeah.
And for anyone, you know, who's kind of wondering where they can catch up on previous sessions, they're on the Qalam podcast, number one. Number two is they're on the, you know, Qalam YouTube channel. They're on the Qalam Facebook page and a number of other Facebook pages where you can go back and watch them. And Michelle Ustad's been saving them on IGTV as well, here on his Instagram channel. So you can always go there to the channel and watch them there as well, inshallah.
Inshallah. We, you know, we really hope that everybody, the reason why we did this, you know, we talked about it, you know, now a couple of weeks ago. The reason why we did this was just to, you know, first and foremost, because we, you know, we wanted to be inspired ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. When Sheikh and I talk to each other and we leave this, we leave these gatherings always literally talking about how amazing these ayat are and these stories are. So, you know, this wasn't our way of trying to teach everybody and then, you know, we went to sleep or something like that. We would take these sessions and we would benefit ourselves. So we hope, inshallah, that you guys benefited as well. And we'll be here with you, inshallah, you know, throughout the entire pandemic. You know, we're suffering and struggling with everybody, and we want to make sure that our spirituality is connected together as a community. So whether it's through Qadam, you know, with a more educational and international reach, or Roots, what we got going on locally or even online sometimes, you guys are all more than welcome to join everything that we have. Inshallah, every single thing. I speak on behalf of, you know, as an instructor of Qadam, as a director of Roots, I want everyone to feel welcome in those programs, inshallah, because that's our goal, is just to benefit ourselves and to help benefit anyone else who's interested. Inshallah. All right, everybody. Take care. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.